Matthew 13:44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field." Such a beautiful picture. And I mean, many of us sitting here, I don't know what price you have paid. I don't know what it's cost you to follow Jesus Christ. But this is such a beautiful picture of a person who discovers the kingdom, who discovers this field. And Jesus is sharing this as an analogy of what he did to get to this place of buying this field. Now, many of us sitting here this morning, you know, we will do lots to get to what we want. You know, you will sacrifice stuff, you will say no to stuff, etc. And I want to ask you this morning, and this is the title of my sermon this morning, what matters most? What matters most to you? What is the thing that you pursue with everything that is in you? What matters most? There's a quote that says, and it's not on the screen there, it says, "Whatever we focus on dictates our actions." Just think of that quickly. Whatever we focus on will dictate my actions. In actual fact, it will dictate what I think, you know, what I plan. It will dictate my day, my financial plans, everything. What I focus on, think of as valuable, I will. How many of you have had something that you thought, "Yeah, this is a really cool thing and I need to get this," and your bank account says you're not going to have it, and then you make a plan? Is it only me that does this? Okay, because I can get very, look, ask my wife, if I set my sights on something and I want it, then my family knows don't stand still for long enough because I might sell you. It's not really that bad. But I get rid of clutter that way. It's like, oh, it's been lying there for a year, gone. I need something else. Okay? Treasure is anything we value above all else, and that which motivates us to action. Should I read it again? Treasure is anything we value above all else, and that which motivates us to action. You know the whole, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean? If you all watch it, right? Philistines. Any case. Pirates in general, what was the main purpose?
Gold.
Yeah, they wanted the booty, man. They wanted gold. I mean, you look watch any pirate movie and it's all about the treasure. And their whole lives are around finding treasure. They just want to get this stuff, man. And it made me think of, you know, when I consider treasure. Now, for us these days, we don't go around robbing people in gold. I mean, goodness sake, for the men and women that's still going to get married, that little gold ring that you're going to buy, good luck. Because I've seen the prices of gold, so maybe we should buy the thing again. No, I'm joking. There's some people in South Africa that think that's a thing, you know, that they can just pirate other people's houses. But treasure is anything we value above all else. So I guess the question to myself is, what do I value so much? When I focus on earthly success and wealth, I will spend all my energies and earthly matters to get that. So this morning is maybe just a question, and like I said, that's my question. What matters most to you and me? When I focus on God's priorities, my actions will reflect differently. My focus will shift on a reward that's not necessary from here, but with one that lasts forever. And Jesus says, for me to determine where my heart is, or where my treasure is, I will know where it is when I find out where my heart is. Okay, that's the scripture I want to get into. It's Matthew 6, 19 to 21. It says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, but where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal, and where your treasure is, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So for our visitors, maybe we've been on a journey. There's an app that we've used as a tool to help us draw much closer to God. The Pause app, and many of us have been busy with that. And the main purpose of this app is it takes you through the different weeks. So there's a 30-day, program, whatever that we work through. And each week, you know, they just challenge you to think on a few things. But the main focus is actually just to get closer to God. And I don't know about you, as you have been journeying with us and as you has really spent time with God, but I think when you spend time with the Lord, it kind of starts challenging the stuff that I value, the stuff that is important to me. You know, this is a well-known scripture. I mean, this scripture, we probably, most of us know it off by heart. And we can quote it so easily, the verse 21 especially, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." But I think, you know, this is one of those topics that when you hear it, you have to actually go sit and pause just for a moment. What is your treasure? Where is your heart? You know, for some it might be your career. You just want it to get to the top. For some of us it might be your wife or your husband. Or maybe your children. You know, maybe it's, you know, your finances. You want to reach certain goals, so all you're doing is you're putting everything in there because then you value that. All your efforts of your life is aimed on achieving this one thing. You know, for us, this side of heaven, our challenge is to continually submit that to the treasure that actually matters. I guess the question, you know, if I think of that Matthew 13 scripture, is what am I willing to sell? What am I willing to walk away from? What am I willing to give up to get this treasure of the kingdom? Many people claim to look forward to heaven, that they're going to be in heaven, but their hearts are not really in it. They are merely going through the motions. You know, look like it, but there's no substance to the way that they are walking. Their hearts are caught up in the cares of this world because that's where their treasure really are. That is the stuff that they're really pursuing. Maybe you know someone like this that when you look at them, you can see they're really struggling. You know, because their treasure is in a place where it's temporal, where these things, you know, is going to be fleeting, it's just going to disappear, and they're going to end up disappointed. And the fact of the matter is, if you know Jesus Christ, you sit with the greatest treasure, and have I shared it with him? Am I sharing it with him? Because the last thing we want really is for people to get to that place where they find out everything that they pursued was worth nothing. People whose treasure are in heaven cannot be owned by their possessions. You know, through my walk with Christ, I've so many times seen people that are so passionate for God that they just give away stuff. It's amazing to witness how that stuff doesn't have them in bondage. It's not the stuff is not the stuff that they are chasing. And even though they have it, they often just, "Oh, it's okay. Just let it go." But when our treasure is in heaven, then I believe there will be that aspect where we don't hang on to stuff. Because why, the value has changed. It's not the treasure anymore. It's not the one thing that matters in my life anymore. Because I've got another treasure. And far more ways, the temporal, that I'm pursuing at the moment. I think I've said this before. On a few occasions, but they say when a baby is born, it's born with a closed fist. But when a man dies, he dies with an open hand. And the reason for that most probably is because when we are born, the only thing we have to hang on to is this life. The moment we die, it's the very thing that we give up. And you and I have one shot at life. There's no do-over, or like the gamer says, to respawn back. Is that still a thing? It's still a thing. I must just check my lingo, you know. It goes so quickly these days. Maybe it's, I don't know, parachute in, but they respawn. We've never liked that. Separate topic. You see, people whose treasure are in heaven cannot be bought off, because nothing on earth is worth the price of their soul. People that are serious about God, there's nothing that you can offer them to walk away, because they've already found the greatest treasure. When we invest in things of eternal value, our hearts remain loyal to the Lord. We will not be tempted to foolishly serve God and money, because I have the greatest treasure. Now, you know, I'm so glad most of us sitting here this morning knows that treasure, is about that treasure. And I think that's the beautiful thing as we have been journeying with the app and so on, is just been coming back and reevaluating and weighing the stuff in my life. I say, God, but I want to get rid of everything, and I just want to focus all of my life on you. I don't want anything to hinder, to clutter, to make less who you are. I'll say no to stuff if I have to, because you are the one that I am pursuing. And the psalm that they keep reading during this app is such a beautiful psalm. And I think this is the ESV. I'm not reading from the translation they're using in the app, but it says in Psalm 73, verse 25 to 28, it says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your wondrous works. But just that phrase there at the top, it says, there is nothing on earth I desire besides you. It is so clear that the psalmist here is declaring his focus. This person is highly motivated and focused on one thing. He desires only one thing. And in a world, that the world that we're telling, you know, maybe at that stage they could lie there on the hills, you know, with the sheep down there, with the rest of, you know, nice sun shining, it's so chill. Most of us frantically try and get through our daily stuff, you know, the kids and the deadlines and husbands that always continuously want to eat. Keep feeding them. They never want to stop. It's so easy to lose our focus in this frantic life. It's so easy to miss and allow my life to become about other stuff, and shift my treasure, shift my focus, let my attention and my efforts and everything be drawn into these things, but they have no value. It's a value, let me just say that, that's eternal value there. But many of the things we pursue during our day simply goes up in smoke. If you've gotten to the end of a day and they say to you, so what have you been doing this whole day? And you go like, stuff. Lots of stuff. Hectic stuff. What did you do? Stuff. There is nothing on earth that is desired besides you. What a declaration. This inspires me. This gets me thinking that this human is making this declaration. There is nothing on earth that is desired besides you. Wow. I want to be like that. I really do. And as I've been preparing, you know, the one thing that I realized is that to be able to do this, I need you. We need each other to help us walk in this way. No man alone, I think, can do this consistently, facing everything that we are facing today. I need you to speak faith into my life when I don't have faith. I need you to help me when I hit the floor and I think life is over, it's worthless. And then you come alongside me and you help me up and you say, no, life is amazing because it's about Jesus. And you help me, you speak life and faith and everything into me. I need that. You need that. When your budget doesn't make sense. Okay, none of you, please. I mean, you know that spreadsheet? When Lorette does that spreadsheet, and you get to that end and it goes, we have said, well, that's the faith goal. When it gets to that minus, let's say 2,000 rand, well, that's what we pray for. Lord, we need plus 2,000, please. But that's where we come around one another. Don't we? That's where we have to. That's why we're a small group. That's where I can phone the person in my small group and say, listen, help me pray. I need a miracle. Or when I have a bad hair day. It happens often. Just one of them goes wrong. That's why I'm not jealous of all any of you. Do you have it? No? I need you. I need you to help me live, as the psalmist says. I need you to help me be strong when I'm not. To love me even when I'm not all together, when I don't have it all together. So does each one of us. Because isn't it true, saints, we can so often fake it. How are you doing? Oh, amazing. Praise the Here. I'm swimming backstroke. Life is a fierce one. In the meantime, you're drowning. Feels like you've got a weight around your feet and you're somewhere there at the bottom. You know, don't know if you're going to see tomorrow. And that's where we need one another. A.W. Tozer said the following. He says, the man who has God for a treasure has all things. The man who has God for a treasure has all things. Is that how you see it? Is that how you truly walk into every day? That you've got the greatest treasure that I'm carrying into tomorrow, that I'm carrying in the rest of this day. I have everything that I need. No, but my budget doesn't make sense. But I have everything that I need. I have God. Luke 12:34 just echoes Matthew's scripture. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart. Where is your heart? I want to drop that question in your spirit this morning. I want to say to you, where is your heart truly at? And I want you to go sit with it, consider it, and then settle in your heart where your heart is going to be. And again, this life, this world, is an interesting place. Where is your heart at? Is your heart fearful? Does that fear cause you to draw away from God and get obsessed about stuff that is happening? Where is your heart at? I've been reading through Philippians, and And Paul gets to this place where he makes this statement, and when I read this, I was like, whoa! You know, so maybe just some context in Philippians 3, Paul is kind of defending who he is and what he's achieved and everything that's going on in his life, and then he gets to verse 7. Okay, I fixed it there. Mine says 79, but I'm glad I see I fixed it there. It says, but whatever gain I had. Now he's speaking about his academics, his, you know, keeping the law, he's been passionate, he's been zealous, he's speaking about everything that is achieved, and he goes like, whatever I have gained, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Come on. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Oh, that's some strong words there. In order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And as I've been sitting with the scripture, you know, I had to consider, what am I holding on to? Am I pursuing God in such a way that I consider these things as rubbish? You know, I'm so glad God has deposited so much in us, you know, and we have different skills and abilities, as we say, and we sit here and we celebrate that. But what Paul is saying here, I've got all these things, and I can do amazing. And I mean, he's written so many books for us in the Bible that helps us and educates us through the Holy Spirit. But he counts these things rubbish only to know Christ. And it made me think, and hopefully it makes you think in your today's day and age, what is your relationship with the stuff? What are you holding dear to? What matters most to you? You know, what he's describing here is a lifestyle that goes 100% against what the world says we must live. The world says, get to the stuff, man. You know, get the house and all these things. And he goes like, but this is not what I pursue. This lifestyle, as I said, goes 100% against the self-centered living style of what the world currently preaches. You know what, can I just say? Saints, being the older folk in the house here, we need to help our children. Because they are the ones that are going the heaviest under this burden to become people they are not. The world is teaching them. It's speaking into them. It's determining their values. YouTube and the stuff that they're watching, all these different apps and things are telling them who they are, not Jesus. They might end up pursuing other stuff unless we help them to see the value of Jesus Christ, to introduce them, that the penny drops, that Christ becomes their treasure. Now, as we sit here this morning, Jesus is our treasure for many of us. He is the one that we pursue. But we need to hand over that baton. We need to give it to those that are most need of it. What Paul describes here shows me that he's count the cost. But not only that, he also considered the reward. He weighed up what was before him, and he chose the reward. He doesn't see what it cost him anymore. He sees Christ as the reward. Do you and I still see him like that? Joshua challenges the Israelites. He says today to them, they need to choose whom they will serve. In Joshua 24, verse 14 to 15, he says that, so fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose this today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors to serve beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live now? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That's such a powerful statement, and again a statement of absolute decision. All the eggs in one basket, only one focus. And I think that's what your journey with the Pause app has helped you and me to do, is to again come to this place where me and my house will serve God. He becomes the greatest treasure that I pursue. 1 Peter 5, 6-8 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Be sober-minded and watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking some to devour. And I believe that the anxieties, the cares, and the worries of this world is probably the biggest tool that the devil is using currently to move people away from God. Because they become so weighed down with the heaviness of what they are facing that they don't believe God can actually still hear them and answer. And again, you and I carry that answer, and we can just bring it to them. Say, listen, can I pray with you? You know, I've heard it said before that people say, no, but we can only pray. But prayer is the most powerful thing that we can do. It's not the last option. It is the option. It is communion with God. It's speaking to a holy, powerful, almighty God, petitioning Him to move on my behalf. That is prayer. That is me coming in union with Him. Yeah. You know, when I pray in tongues, I come in agreement with what He is saying. The Spirit is praying into my situation. You know, when you're facing something and it's really harsh, pray in tongues. Take that thing on. And if you have something to say, then say it. But I'm just praying in tongues. Because sometimes you can be so needy. And we pray with no faith. It's more a, Here, help my prayer. Lord, help me, Lord, help me. Instead of maybe just looking at it from God's perspective and speaking to my situation from God's perspective. I become a beggar, not a son. Listen, saints. As a son and a daughter of the Most High God, I think we need to realize what authority we walk in. And the devil don't want us to walk in that authority. So when you're facing these things, gather the saints around you and declare things, speak things, pray into things. But humble yourself under His mighty hand. You and I know we cannot solve all our problems. I'm so glad, because then I can see Almighty God at work in my life. And as we sit here, we all have testimonies of that happening. John 7, verse 37-38 says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That is the invitation. Every day to you and me, no matter what we face, is to come back to the treasure, the one we desire most, the one we want most. To come and drink from the well of life. To be thirsty for Jesus. And let Jesus change everything. Isaiah 40:31 is the scripture we kicked off this year with. And with this I'm going to close. It says, but they await for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We want all the rest of the scripture, but it starts with waiting. It starts with intimacy. It starts with what matters most. The one who matters most. It doesn't start at the end. Sometimes I think we want to go to the end. But every trial that we face, I believe, has one but one purpose. One invitation, at least from God's perspective, is come up and close to my son and my daughter. I've got you. I love you. Come, let me show you my glory. Let me show you my power. Just come stand next to me. come walk this out with me, and I'll show you my magnificence in your life. And it's so often, like I've responded, it's like, thank you, Lord, I've got this. I can sort this out. I've got a plan. But every trial, only to fail. Miserably. But every trial that we face has that invitation to just call, come closer to Him. So what matters most to you? What is your treasure? What are you pursuing? Have you considered it? Have you sat with it and thought with it? You know, have you recently, not maybe 20 years back when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, but have you sat and reevaluated your life right now? Can I see in your life what your treasure is? What will it look like? So may we only pursue one. May you and I only pursue one treasure. The person of Jesus Christ. The personal relationship with Him. Let's stand, and then I'm going to close for us this morning. So if you are standing in that field this morning of Matthew 13, what will you do to get to the treasure? Is there a shift? Has there been a shift in your life of the treasure that you are pursuing? And the app helped us so beautifully to reposition just our lives with Christ again. You know, simple discipline of, you know, that, come on, 10 minutes. And those of us that, whoever you've set, whether 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes in the evening, okay? 10 minutes is not long. It's actually quite quick. But I hope that you graduate to 15 minutes, and then 20 minutes, and then 30, maybe an hour, where you simply sit with the treasure of your life, the one that you're pursuing most, and let Him order your day, order your thoughts, plan out your life. Because it's only when I'm sitting with the one that I treasure most that I will know what my future is. And you know what? I might not know everything, but I know everything that I'm going to face, that I am with Him, that His wings cover me, that His glory is around about me. And even as that in that app it speaks about, you know, in Scripture it says, you know, the glory of God fill the temple. May the glory of God fill this temple continually. Right? I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. May the glory of God fill your temple continuously. So much so that you cannot stand. That His glory will be made manifest over your and my life. So that when I and me and you walk into this life, that people will see what? The glory of God. That His glory will shine through your face, through your speaking, through your actions, through the way that you deal with situations. You know, the wisdom that you will have to tackle every area of your life, and even that deadline that's so daunting at this stage. May the glory of God touch everything. Because He's the God who's in control. He's the God who's in control. And the more, you know, we were praying this morning for the service, and I now saw a picture, and she said, you know, it's like a vase, that there's a lot of sludge and stuff at the bottom. And in order to get rid of that, you have to start stirring that bottle. You know, have you ever done that? Get something in there and get it up, because you need to get it up to get it out. And then as she was sharing that, what God showed me is the best way to get that out is to get a fresh stream coming in. And as that stream starts pouring in, have you seen, there's a video clip about this, it's got this black bottle, and as the water comes in, it's simply just the black stuff starts coming out the top. The solution to your mind problems, by our life issues, is the pouring of God's glory into this temple. And then the muck and the stuff will just go out. You need deliverance? Get Jesus in. You need breakthrough? Get Jesus in. Anything you and I need, we just need Christ. So let Him be the treasure that you pursue above all else. And your life will never be the same. Your world will never look the same again. Can you just for a moment, just glimpse what it will all look like when you walk into your family situation, into your job situation, whatever you're facing, and you just carry the glory of God? What is going to shift? Because don't tell me it's not going to shift. Well, you know, even if you're the only thing that changed, something will shift.